Sweet Pea Supply Company, a general store stocking locally sourced products in the charming hamlet of Halkettsville. Freshly made baked goods and prepared dishes to take away. Daily lunch, dinner, and dessert specials. Posted on Facebook and Instagram. Open 10 to 6, Thursday through Monday. Sweet Pea Supply Company, Bragg Hollow Road in Halkettsville. 607-326-6776. 607-326-6776. SweetPeaSupplyCo.com. The Ark Bowl and Barbecue, Route 28 in Arkville, New York. A 120-seat, restored 1960s-era vintage 8-lane bowling alley, barbecue joint, saloon, and music entertainment venue. Featuring a slow, smoked and grilled barbecue menu. The Ark Bowl and Barbecue, available for all types of social events, including weddings, birthday parties, and work gatherings. Details at thearkbowl.com. What the Soap, WTS & Company in Prattsville, for soaps and lotions made on-site, locally handcrafted candles, pottery, jewelry, art, and gifts, and a hand-picked selection of books on homesteading, nature, and local history. WTS & Company in the Prattsville Plaza and online at whatthesoap.com.
Hi, this is Andy Cahill, host of the Andy Cahill Show on WIOX Roxbury. You know how passionate I am about music and community radio. You may not know I'm passionate about community solar energy. Delaware River Solar is a community solar company set up to provide an easy and accessible way to begin participating in renewable energy, and it doesn't involve installation of solar panels. Delaware River Solar, a supporter of WIOX, is a solar energy company for Catskills region communities. And when it comes to community, well, you can count me in. I'd be happy to share the details about Delaware River Solar at 845-586-2058 or andy.cahill@delawareriversolar.com.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. I tell you, made for you and me. As I went walking down that ribbon of a highway, I saw the beauty of that endless skyway. Now I saw below me that golden valley, and I said, this land was made for you and me. As I was walking, now they tried to stop me.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you today? This is Dennison, your host of Through the Looking Glass. We're here on Mondays from 9 to 10 a.m. on the great WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. How are you today? We have a good show. It's June 20th. It's a lovely day outside. It's going to be beautifully sunny, high 71. The low was 40 last night, so a huge jump in our temperature range here, but we will take this day. Gorgeous time to be alive here in the Catskill Mountains. Pandemic is over, supposedly, or close to it. The people feeling a lot better about it. People aren't wearing masks as much. People are feeling safer. They're traveling again. Life seems to be getting back to normal. But then you hear something that just absolutely blows your mind. Absolutely, you think this can't be true. There's no way this is true. This is the United States, 2022. We're very sophisticated, democratic, peace-loving, freedom-loving, whatever country. And yet, I keep getting reminded of darker times in history. And I was reminded a little while ago when I came across a lawyer named Bobby Ann Cox. Never heard of her before. She works out of Westchester, out of her firm, Cox Lawyers. And she's a lawyer who tends to fight, you know, government abuse, sticks up for municipalities and things like that. So she's very equipped with working with the state. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think back to World War II a lot because I think there's been a lot of parallels with the beginning of World War II and what's going on today. Huge inflation, economy in trouble, shipping, supply issues. Now we're flirting with war with Russia. We have crime waves soaring. We have a pandemic, supposedly, that's on the wane, yes, and it doesn't seem to stop. But then you hear something like, I don't know, quarantine camps in New York State? Quarantine camps, or i.e. prisons. You know, I mean, the Germans call their concentration camps. I mean, nobody was toasting marshmallows there. Camps are not a right word. They were death camps, maybe, or work prisons, or death prisons. In any case, I can't imagine being in Germany in 1937, seeing people being rounded up, taken to these death camps, and my being a lawyer. And if I was a lawyer, what would I do? If I was a lawyer who was skilled at fighting government abuse, would I have the courage to step in? I think about that a lot. Well, in New York City, it turns out we have regulation on the book passed by our governor. And that regulation means that people can be quarantined and detained, pulled out of their home, and put in detention centers for as long as whatever they want. You don't have to be proven sick. You don't have to have, like, a deadly disease that they can... No, you can't have a hearing. You can't have a lawyer. No due process. I heard this, and I said, that's not New York State. That's not the United States. But, yeah, we have a warrior fighting for all of us that we don't even know about. And this is what really upsets me. I think it's the level of censorship we're seeing today. If any state was going to have quarantine camps built up, that should be front page news. Hey, hello, Nazi Germany. The gulags of the Soviet Union are kind of showing their head here in the United States. But you haven't heard a thing about it, or I hadn't. I try to pay attention to the news. If you haven't, then you should be as surprised as I am. So I had an interview last week with Bobby Ann Cox, the attorney I mentioned, and she single-handedly is an angel sent to us. She is fighting the governor's end run around the legislature to put quarantine camps in New York. I mean, their legislation, or the rule is here now. So I'm just going to go to Bobby Ann Cox now. Folks, it's Through the Looking Glass here on WIOX Community Radio. We are live and local in the Catskill Mountains. Thanks for joining us. Let's go now to my interview with Bobby Ann Cox. Going to tell us about her suit against Governor Hochul. Here we go.
Before fighting COVID tyranny, I was a property tax certiorari attorney. So that means that I sue the government on a local level. So towns, cities, villages, county, school districts for over assessment on people's property.
Okay.
So I was fighting government overreach on the local level with regards to, you know, monetary penalties of property owners for a couple decades before this. And so I'm used to dealing with government and filing petitions against them. But so this is different because now I'm suing the state. I'm suing the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, as well as the commissioner of health, and then the Department of Health and the Health Planning Council. And I'm representing a group of New York state legislators together with a citizens group called Uniting New York State. And the group of legislators that I'm representing are Senator George Borrello, Assemblyman Chris Tague, and Assemblyman Mike Lawler, together with Uniting New York State And basically, the lawsuit is about this regulation. It's called isolation and quarantine regulation. And it's you can find it at 10 NYCRR 2.13. You can also find it on the website that we've set up specifically for the lawsuit, which is unitingnys.com/lawsuit. And there's a link there to the regulation, so you can actually read it for yourself. But basically what it does is it gives power to the Commissioner of Health and whoever the commissioner appoints, and they can pick and choose which New Yorkers they want to force to isolate or quarantine. They can force you to do that in your home, or they can remove you from your home, and they can force you to quarantine in a facility. They get to choose the facility where you have to go. They get to choose how long you have to stay there or how long you have to lock down in your house. They get to choose who goes where for how long, and they don't even have to prove that you actually have a communicable disease. They just can think maybe you might have been exposed to a communicable disease. There's no restriction on age, so they can take you, they can take your child, they can take your grandchild, they could take your parent, your elderly grandparent. There's just no restriction at all as to age, and there's no restriction as to time frame. So they could force you to isolate or quarantine for days, for weeks, for months. I mean, there's no limit. There's no due process protection in this regulation for the people.
Essentially they could lock you up and throw away the key, and that's consistent with the legislation that they're trying to push through.
They can lock you up and throw away the key, but it's not legislation that they're trying to push through. This is a regulation and it's in effect now. So this is different than Assemblyman Perry proposed. He was an assemblyman in New York State. He represented Brooklyn. And for 7 years, he was proposing a law that was very similar to this regulation. And that was in its most recent form, it was A416. And he ultimately withdrew it in December of 2021. But this is actually a regulation, which means it's not coming from the New York State Legislature because it's not a law that they've passed. It's coming from the executive branch. It's coming from the Department of Health. And the governor appoints, you know, who runs the Department of Health, right? So basically it's coming from the governor and her Department of Health. And they basically took the sum and substance of what that proposed law, A416, said, and they made it into a regulation, which means they didn't have to get approval. They didn't have to go to the legislature and say, hey, can we do this? They didn't have to go to the voters and say, hey, do you like this? It's a regulation coming from the Department of Health, which is the executive branch. And it's so egregious, it's so illegal, it's so unconstitutional on multiple levels. And we the people, don't have any recourse other than suing them and asking the court to put that executive branch, the Department of Health and the governor, back in their place.
So the executive branch is essentially doing an end run around the legislature.
Definitely.
And what did the legislature do when Nick Perry had this bill A416 for a number of years? And I heard about it a couple of years ago and called his office several times, and I was aghast at that. But thank God it didn't get through the legislature. What happened with his bill before we get to why Hochul's doing this?
Right. So it's a great question, because this is a telltale sign that what the governor and the Department of Health are doing is completely illegal. So the legislature had this bill proposed for 7 years, started in 2015. The premise was Ebola, I think it was, or something. We need this power. We have to be able to lock people up. Okay. So for 7 years, it was proposed, including during the 2 years of COVID, 2020 and 2021. And not only was Nick Perry, Assemblyman Nick Perry, the only assemblyman to get behind this bill. He was the sponsor. He was the author. Not one other New York State assembly member would back the bill with him. Similarly, not one New York State senator would support the bill. There was never an accompanying or a sister bill proposed in the Senate, right? Nobody wanted to touch it. That bill that Perry proposed, he proposed it in the Assembly Health Committee. It never got on the agenda in the Health Committee. It was never voted on by the Health Committee. It never went to the Assembly floor to be voted on because it had no support whatsoever.
Now, when you say no support, that means legislators knew if they went and supported this, their constituents would turn on them in a heartbeat if they found that.
100%.
And that's democracy at work.
100%.
And so 100%. Hochul's going around the democratic process.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
She's doing it by just, she's just writing something saying this is a regulation?
So the Department of Health issued this as a regulation, and it actually technically started in March of 2020 under Governor Cuomo when, so it was the very beginning of the pandemic. Nobody knew what was going on. The media was scaring everybody to death about it. So the New York State Legislature changed the executive law, Section 29-A, to say that Cuomo could have special emergency power, that during a state of emergency, that he could issue, they said, directives. Hmm. Now, what that means is, you know, everybody was calling them mandates, right? Oh, Cuomo has this mandate, Cuomo has that mandate. But what it was really was they gave Cuomo the power to make law. Right. So which is completely unconstitutional in itself. But that's a story for another day. So he had this special, amazing power to issue directives or make law. And he went and passed it on to the Commissioner of Health. And he did that by executive order number 202. And it specifically said, you know, you have this power, whatever. So under Cuomo, the Commissioner of Health came up with this regulation. Now, it's very interesting that this regulation is very similar to Assemblyman Perry's bill, A416. But again, that can be a discussion for another day. Mm-hmm. So they issue this, it's in effect, they promulgate this regulation. And for a year, Cuomo's got this amazing emergency power. Then in March of 2021, the legislature takes back the power.
Good.
Okay. He no longer has the power, which means if he doesn't have the power anymore, then his Department of Health certainly doesn't have the power anymore. Furthermore, in June of 2021, Cuomo publicly announces there's no more coronavirus emergency in New York. Mm-hmm. And he revokes his prior COVID emergency executive orders, including 202, which is the executive order that gave the power to the Commissioner of Health. So in June of 2021, that power was clearly extinguished, right? The Department of Health no longer had the power. However, he resigns in August 2021. Hochul becomes the new governor, and her Department of Health continues to promulgate every couple of months by emergency declaration, you know, they're calling it an emergency regulation, the same exact regulation that Cuomo's Department of Health was issuing. But the difference is they don't have that same emergency power that Cuomo had. So Hochul never had the legislature give her special powers like Cuomo did. So she has nothing to pass on to her Department of Health to promulgate this regulation. So, you know, they're trying to argue, oh, the public health law, section 225, that gives us the power. It does not give them the power. You know, they're just finding the most broad language they possibly can in the public health law. And they're trying to say, here, look, this gives us power. Because an agency, I say that because an agency can't just make up rules, right? Sure. If you think about it logically, like they have to have a directive from somewhere, right? They can't just make up any rule they want. So the legislature has to pass a law. And then the executive branch, including the Department of Health, would make a regulation to help enforce that law. So there's no law from the there's no law from the legislature that would empower them, the Department of Health, to make this regulation.
Oh my. So this is frightening. I mean, this is not just a regulation being passed saying, you know, municipalities have to provide more paperwork to receive state funding or something. This is something that just eviscerates the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of New York, all democratic impulses. I mean, this is tyrannical. It just harkens to Gestapo agents coming to your house at 4 a.m. and dragging you out. There's no due process. I mean, how could she do this? Are there any regulations now that she could use that would help her in a crisis situation, remove someone who's like an infectious, danger? Does she have to resort to just eviscerating the Constitution to do this?
So that's a great question, because there's actually a provision of the public health law. So it is a law. It's been on the books for decades. It's section 2120 of the public health law. And it specifically says, here's what you have to do if you want to remove somebody from society and quarantine them because they're a health threat. So we have already New York state law. She could easily have her Department of Health just follow that law. It's been there for decades. But the law that I'm talking about, section 2120 of the public health law, has a lot of due process built in, as it's supposed to, right? We're not supposed to make laws that don't have due process, right? So it has, and for people that aren't sure what due process is, it just means that it has protections built into it so that the citizen, their rights aren't being trampled on, right? So this law, section 2120 of the public health law, has all these steps that have to be taken before the government can force someone to quarantine. And step number one is you have to prove the person actually has the communicable disease, right? This regulation from the Department of Health and the governor says they just have to think maybe you were exposed to a communicable disease, which could mean anything. It could mean your child was in school and walked down the hall and walked past somebody that was going the other direction, and that person that they walked past going the other direction had tuberculosis or COVID-19 or whatever, and now your child has to go to a quarantine facility?
I know. On the extreme end, it's like she's a witch, right? I mean, how do you defend yourself? You're a witch. I'm a witch. You know, in Salem, we saw that. No evidence. People were hung and burned. And now it's like, well, you may have been exposed to someone who may have been exposed to someone who may have had an infection. That is frightening.
It's absolutely horrific, because the power in this regulation, number one, they gave it to themselves. And number two, it is unbridled. It is unbridled. They could take you for any reason. You could go to a political fundraiser that they don't like, right? And they could say, well, everybody at that fundraiser has to now either lock down in your house for the next 3 months or get locked up into a quarantine camp for the next 8 months or whatever, because we think you were exposed. They don't even have, there is no due process. They don't have to prove that you have the disease. They don't have to gather evidence against you, which section 2120 of the public health law says that they do, right? It says you do have to prove the person has a disease. And not just that, you have to prove they have the disease and they're not conducting themselves in a proper manner to keep other people around them safe and healthy, right?
So reasonable,
right?
Everyone would say that is reasonable.
Correct.
And so what is the impulse behind the governor trying to get pre-Renaissance type legislation? I mean, not legislation, just mandates, orders
right.
from the king kind of thing.
That's right.
What's her impulse? Just more power? Or is it, do you know where this is coming from? It's frightening to me because she's not even elected. She never received a vote for governor.
Well, so the Department of Health, the Commissioner of Health, and the governor, they're all represented by the New York State Attorney General. So who I'm fighting against in this lawsuit is a couple of the assistant attorneys general. And their argument, both on their papers that are filed with the court and when we had oral arguments 2 or 3 weeks ago in front of the judge, they basically argue that they need this power. Don't you want us to have this power? Because we need to keep New Yorkers safe. And we, the government, know best. Look at how much carnage and suffering and death that COVID-19 has caused. Don't you want us to have the power to keep you safe? You know, my response to that is, yeah, of course we all want to be safe, but we already have a law. It's Section 2120 of the Public Health Law. We already have a law that tells us what you need to do to remove someone that is actually a public health threat. You can't throw out the Constitution because you feel like it, and you can't contradict existing New York state law because you feel like it. It's not the way the Constitution works.
Wow. Bobby, we only have about 10 minutes left. I want to respect your time and how busy you are. How are they trying to negate your case? How are they, because I imagine if they really want this power grab, they see you as a threat to that, and they're going to try and undermine you. What are their tactics been?
So they have been fighting me tooth and nail. So number one, they're arguing that multiple things, but they're arguing, you know, we have no cause of action. There's no claim here. They're saying, you know, we're not actually using the regulation. You know, we're not actually locking people up. And my answer to that is, well, that's terrific, but that's not the basis of my argument. I'm not representing people that are saying, hey, you locked me up illegally. I'm representing people who are members of the New York State Legislature and a citizens group. And the legislature is saying, hey, you guys are injuring us because you can't make this regulation. That's our job, right? This is a law. So if this law, which you're calling a regulation, but if this law is going to be made, we get to make it. The legislature gets to make it, not you, executive branch. So it's a separation of powers argument, and so that's why I'm representing members of the New York State Legislature, and I say all those similarly situated. So basically, I'm representing the entire New York State Legislature, and then the citizens group. You know, we the people elect those representatives that sit in our New York State Legislature, the Senate and the Assembly. Every 2 years, we go to the polls and we elect them. If you are usurping the power of the legislature and you're taking their voice away in the lawmaking process, then you're injuring the people because we speak through our legislators. So by extinguishing the power of the legislature, you're extinguishing the voice of the people, which is illegal, unconstitutional. You can't do that. So, they're trying to argue we have no standing, you know, we have no authority to bring the case, we have no injury. The first thing they did when I filed in New York State court was they removed the case to federal court. They tried to argue it's a federal case about federal law, which is completely untrue. They were trying to stall, they were trying to, you know, use up all our resources, waste time. So I'm doing the case pro bono. And I had to ask a colleague if he would donate his time and help me because I wasn't even admitted into the federal court where they removed the case, meaning federal courts, an attorney has to be admitted to each court specifically. And I'm admitted to the Southern District of New York and they removed it to the Western District of New York. So it would have taken me weeks just to get my admission papers all done and approved by that court. So I had to reach out to a colleague who was already admitted in the Western District and say, hey, can you help me with this case? Because it's going to take me a long time to get admitted here and I don't have time. So he very kindly, Tom Marcel is the attorney that helped me out. He very kindly donated his time and we were able to file a motion. We asked for expedited review. The federal judge granted it. We had oral arguments on the motion. And ultimately, the federal judge ruled in our favor, and he remanded us back to state court. Another thing they did was there's a group of assemblymen in New York State Assembly who support our case, and so they filed an amicus brief to help support our case. And that was headed up by Assemblyman Andy Goodell, who's also an attorney. Mm-hmm. And the Attorney General's office opposes the amicus brief. So now we have to start doing motion practice in state court to argue to the judge why the amicus brief should be allowed and should be considered. And, you know, nobody opposes an amicus brief. I mean, it was another stall tactic, another thing to waste my time and my resources and my energy and stall the case and slow us down. And, you know, so ultimately we did the motion practice and the judge ruled in our favor. And the amicus brief is allowed into the court. It's allowed to be read and considered, which is a huge win because the brief is fantastic. You know, Assemblyman Andy Goodell did a fabulous job. Assemblyman Joe Giglio is also part of the amicus brief, and also Assemblyman Will Barclay, who's the minority leader in the assembly. Yeah, so they're all part of that amicus brief.
All right, folks, you are listening through the Looking Glass here on WIOX Community Radio at 91.3 FM here in the Catskill Mountains. We're listening to attorney Bobby Ann Cox. He has filed a suit against the governor in defense of the New York State Assembly because the governor has secretly kind of slipped through her own little regulatory maneuvers, some law that's now in the books that the government can grab you and throw you in a basically concentration camp, detention center, whatever you want to call it, prison, for an indefinite period of time without due process. No one has to prove you have a serious illness. You could just be suspected of maybe coming in contact with someone, maybe coming in contact with somebody. I can't believe we're having this conversation, but I'm so grateful we have attorney Bobby Ann Cox fighting for us, and we're going to go back to her now. We have about 8.5 minutes left in this interview.
Judge, take into account the unsavory tactics that the other side is using. I mean, if they had an argument that was a winnable argument, they would just want to meet you in court and put their cards down. Instead, they're doing everything to keep you out of the courtroom. And that says everything right there, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does. That's exactly what I feel, is that they've been doing these things to fight against me and slow the case down and stall it and divert the attention away from what the issue really is. And yeah, because they don't have a case on the merits. They can't fight me on the merits. Their breach of the Constitution and of New York State law that's on the books already is so egregious that I think they realize that, you know, when we go head to head, that they're not going to win. I mean, I think the case is very clear. And I think that it's an easy decision for the judge, but you know, we have to see what the judge rules. So we haven't gotten his decision yet. We're still waiting on that.
And that judge, I imagine, is under a great deal of pressure because his decision could be in opposition to what the state power wants, or at least, Hochul and company. Bobby Ann, how did you decide to fight this pro bono? I mean, you're trying to make a living like everybody else, and you've had an experience fighting government on a smaller level, but what made you say, I have to do something? Or did people come and beg you to do something? What's the genesis of this for you?
So it was because, it was a combination of things, but mostly it was because nobody was fighting it. You know, there were attorneys that were bringing cases against the mask mandate, attorneys that were bringing cases against certain specific COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Nobody was paying attention to the quarantine facility regulation. And any attorneys I spoke to about it were like, well, no, you can't bring the case until people are being locked up and you have to wait until somebody's really injured and, you know, their rights have been trampled on and stuff. And so they were thinking of a very different, very narrow type of injury in this case. I was researching and I said, no, I said, I'm not going to wait until people are being locked up and thrown into camps and, you know, losing their businesses, being separated from their families, having emotional problems. And the clearest argument of injury is the legislature, because clearly this is executive branch overreach, and who's being injured? The legislature is being injured because that's whose power is being taken from them by the governor and her Department of Health. So the citizens group was on board. A lot of people in the citizens group wanted me to do it. And so I worked on it. It took me a couple months to draft the lawsuit. And then I started going to New York State legislators one by one and saying, here's this case. I'm bringing it on behalf of a citizens group. You know, do you want to be a part of it? And, you know, unfortunately, it was you know, a little bit tough to get some legislators on board. But ultimately, Senator George Borrello, Assemblyman Chris Teague, and Assemblyman Mike Lawler stepped up. They're on the lawsuit. They're named petitioners on this with Uniting New York State. And then, like I said, we have the group of assemblymen that are doing the amicus brief. So, and others have now come out and approached me and said, oh, this is great. You know, other legislators have said, you know, I'll support you and stuff like that. So it's definitely an important thing. And everybody can get involved. That's the good thing. If people want to volunteer, if people want to donate, we have a donate button on the website. You know, there are things people can do.
I mean, Bobby and Koch, you are walking in the footsteps of Nelson Mandela, Joan of Arc, Martin Luther King. I mean, seriously, you're taking on untold tyrannical power and unjust, corrupt legislation that I can't even believe it's on the is happening. In fact, it's in effect now, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The regulation is. They've been promulgating it every couple months as an emergency regulation. You know, where's the emergency? What's going on here? You know, Hochul keeps declaring every 30 days. She says, we're still in a state of emergency. You know, she just declared another one. So yeah, it's, and they're working to make it permanent, which they've openly admitted.
And
so,
you know, she's campaigning on one of her big campaign ads is that she stands for women's rights to abortion, which means autonomy over their own body. Which is great, but what about the autonomy that all New York State citizens, including those women, will lose if she just can grab them and throw them in jail somewhere?
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So, Bobby Ann, again, I want people to know about this. I think if enough people know about this, it can't succeed, which is why I think it's no one's heard about it, that I know of.
Correct.
So how can, again, people get money or support or volunteer? What's the website again?
Yeah, so the website is unitingnys.com/lawsuit. And people can go there. It's got a timeline. It tells you what's been going on in the lawsuit. It's got a link to the regulation. You can read the reg. It's got pictures from when I filed the lawsuit in April, we did up in Albany, we did a press conference with the legislators. It's got a video of the press conference. It's got a 2-minute video commercial that people can take the link to these videos that are on that webpage and share it. People can post it on their social media. People can email the links to their friends or their contacts. There are flyers on that webpage, unitingnys.com/lawsuit. There are social media flyers that you can post on your social media, help spread the word. Like I said, there's a donate button on that webpage. You can donate to the lawsuit. But yeah, we really need help getting the word out. If people know other people that have radio shows or podcasters or newspaper, you know, reporters or television reporters, you know, if you know somebody in media, you know, please talk to them about the case, talk to them about the regulation. I'm happy to do more interviews. I'm happy to answer questions. We need to spread the word. The website also has, you can sign up for weekly newsletter updates. So if people go to unitingnys.com, you just click on subscribe or sign up, you know, whatever it says there. And every week you'll automatically get an email which updates you on what's going on with the case. And other things. So it's really important people help us spread the word. It's all hands on deck. Everybody needs to do something right now so that we can beat this tyranny. You know, it's not a time for people to just sit back and relax and say, oh, you know what? I'll let somebody else worry about this. If I cannot stop this regulation in New York State, this is going to spread.
Absolutely.
It's going to spread. Other states are going to look at New York, as they oftentimes do, And they're going to say, wait a minute, New York is forcibly quarantining their citizens. Why can't we do that? And then it's going to spread across the country. And then where are you going to run? Where are you going to run to?
Weimar, Germany. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It's just, it's, I can't believe we're even having this conversation. I'm so sorry that we are, but I'm so grateful to you, Bobby. And I think all, not just New York State residents, but all American citizens, global citizens. I mean, this is a tyrannical power grab. And we're seeing it from the World Health Organization as well on a more global level. And it's frightening. And thank you so much for your work. Again, folks, Bobby Ann Cox, UnitingNYS.com. You're my hero, Bobby. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dennis. And I really appreciate that. People can also check out my website, which is CoxLawyers.com. There's a link there to the website page as well for the lawsuit. So you can either go to CoxLawyers.com and link to the lawsuit page from there, or you can go to UnitingNYS.com/lawsuit. But yeah, I really appreciate you having me on and talking to your audience. It's so important people hear about this. When people know what this regulation says and that we're fighting it and we're trying to help get rid of this, I think it will empower, I hope it will empower more people to get involved. And there's a list on that webpage. There's a list of things people could do if they want to get involved. You don't have to spend all day, every day doing this like I do. You can just spend a couple minutes a day, you know, send an email, post something, reach out to your friend or colleague that does, you know, whatever, a podcast, a radio show, whatever. We just all need to do something, a little something each day, and we can win. We can beat this.
Thank you so much, Bobby Ann Cox. What an honor. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. That was Bobby Ann Cox, Cox Lawyers out of Westchester, fighting Governor Hochul to prevent her from having this power that I didn't know about, where she can grab any New Yorker and throw them in a quarantine camp. Without due process, without even proof of that anyone's infected. Can't believe it's on the books. I think I've said that way too many times. But what an angel, a precious angel we have in Bobby Ann Cox. And folks, this is WIOX Community Radio. I'm your host, Dennison. We are live and local here in the Catskill Mountains. The show is Through the Looking Glass here Mondays from 9 to 10 a.m. And speaking of precious angels, Bob Dylan wrote a little something about that. So we're going to hear from Bob Dylan, Precious Angel. When we come back, we're going to dwell further on the theme of censorship, because clearly we didn't know about any of this happening. This should be front page news, and not one newspaper that I know of has been covering it. So sad state of affairs, but thank God we have a precious angel in Bobby Cox.
Under the sun, how was I to know? Show me I was blinded, to show me I was gone. How weak was the foundation I was standing upon. Now this spiritual warfare, flesh and blood breaking down. You either got faith or you got unbelief, and there ain't no neutral ground. Deceived when the truth's in our hearts and we still don't believe. Shine your light, shine your light on me, shine your light, shine. so-called friends have fallen under a spell. They look me squarely in the eye and they say, well, all is well. And they imagine the darkness that will fall from on high when men will beg God to kill them and they won't be able to die.
All right, that was Bob Dylan, Precious Angel, here on WIOX 91.3 FM, live and local in the Catskill Mountain. And you can hear us at MTC Cable TV Channel 20 and on the campus of SUNY Delhi at 107.5. And worldwide, you can listen to WIOX Radio by going to WIOXradio.org, pressing the button that says listen. Just below that button is one that's called donate. And if you like what you hear, you want to help out a small independent station, you know, you can contribute, throw a dollar in the tip jar. All right, folks, we are back on this theme of censorship. I mean, Bobby Ann Cox really laid out a frightening tale that's going on now in New York City. Her lawsuit I hadn't heard about. I hadn't heard about Hochul, like, putting quarantine camps into the picture here in New York. I haven't seen a newspaper cover it. I haven't seen it on the television stations. I don't know what's happening. And it's a little frightening that that censorship is taking place. But it is. And it's not just happening here. In Germany, I was just reading about a reporter, Alina Lipp. She's young. She's in her 20s. And she's lived in the Donbass region of Ukraine for 6 months. And she's been reporting on what she sees. She's kind of a famous blogger in Germany, but you might say she's the equivalent of Julian Assange in Germany. I mean, she's been in Ukraine since before the war. She's reported on what she's seen. Her narrative isn't the same as the narrative that the German papers and most of the Western papers are pushing, which is Russia bad, Ukraine good. That's end of story. What is going on the ground? I mean, I've never seen a war that, you know, wasn't ugly on many fronts, and I've seen people come back from war, brothers drafted in Vietnam, father fought in World War II, four uncles fought in World War II. So, you know, war's not something I just, you know, see in the headlines. It's visceral for me. And so she went down there. Her mom is German. This is Alina Lipp, the reporter. Her dad's Russian. And so she felt very connected to what was going on in Crimea and Ukraine. She reported it. And now she's being faced with 3 years in prison by the German authorities simply for reporting. So we're going to just quickly hear from her, Alina Lipp, talking in her own words about what's going on.
My name is Alina Lipp. I'm an independent German journalist living in Donetsk. I'm living here for half a year now, telling Germans what is going on in the Donbass region and in Ukraine. And for that, the German authorities now started to persecute me. They first they deleted my material in the internet, then they blocked my bank account, blocked the bank account of my father. And yesterday I got this letter from German authorities that they opened now a criminal case against me. So these are the documents. And for Germans, the support of the special operation of Russia in Ukraine is already a criminal act, for which you can obviously get 3 years in prison. In their letter, they are writing that at the 24th of February, I published a post on Telegram saying that the denazification began and that the people of the Donbass region support Russia in their decision to start this special operation. And I was also saying that Ukrainians were killing the people here in Donbass already for several years. Also, they are writing that on the 12th of March, I published a video in which I said that Ukraine is doing a genocide in Donbass. What is interesting in the end of their letter, they are writing that they are not going to invite me to a hearing because this would disturb the investigations. Okay, that's very interesting. So they are persecuting me but don't want to hear me out. What is by the way, also interesting that on this page, there's a big Z on top. And Z is also already forbidden in Germany. It's a symbol for supporting the special operation of Russia. And for that, you have to pay. What is happening to me now can now happen to all independent journalists and bloggers. And that's why I would like to propose you, dear colleagues, that we are going to start to work together more to support each other against the censorship in the West. There are some colleagues of mine, some independent international colleagues. We started already such projects. And if this is interesting for you, you can write me and we are going to work together.
What? All right. That was Alina Lipp, a German reporter. She reports out of the Donbass region in Ukraine. And she said she has seen, genocidal practices by the Ukrainian military. And for that, she's pretty much being arrested and threatened 3 years in prison. Not only did they freeze her bank account for reporting, they froze her father's bank account so he couldn't help her out because she is a young woman. I don't know, folks. Censorship is not the friend of anyone who's democratic-minded, and this is frightening reality we are faced with today. All right, on the theme of censorship, because obviously she's being censored for reporting what she reported, Bobby Ann Cox, I hadn't heard about her. We have, quarantine camps being orchestrated here in the United States. People could be grabbed and detained today out of their homes, put into a camp for no due process for reasons they may be suspected of maybe having contact with someone who may have had contact with someone who may have been infectious. You don't have to prove infection. There's no process for getting out of these camps, so you could be there indefinitely. It's up to the whims of the powers that be, and that's not democratic. Anyway, there is other censorship issues going on that are even more frightening. And this one I was just reading about, Lincoln Financial Group. They are the fifth largest insurance company in the United States. They've just released a blockbuster on top of what One America Insurance Company had released about a month or so ago. And that is, the company cites that non-pandemic related morbidity and unusual claims adjustments and explanation of losses from group life insurance businesses. Their stocks are falling. Their CEO was replaced. So this Lincoln Financial Group is in big trouble, right? Financially. Got rid of their CEO. Stocks are plummeting. What's going on? Well, this is reported by Margaret Mange at Substack.com. For 5 months after breaking the story of CEO of One America Insurance Company, saying that deaths among working people ages 18 to 64 were up 40% in the third quarter of 2021. I can report that a much larger life insurance company, Lincoln National, reported a 163% increase in deaths benefits paid out under its group life insurance policies in 2021. So suddenly, people are dying at a much faster rate than their actuaries had anticipated, and they're losing money. The reports show more extreme situation than the 40% increase in deaths in the third quarter of 2021 that was cited in late December by One America CEO Scott Davidson, an increase that he said was industry-wide. So all the insurance companies are feeling this increase, this spike in deaths, right? So he described it as unheard of. He said, this is unheard of in the business. He also said these numbers are huge, huge numbers of death. And he said that this is the highest death rates that have ever been seen in the history of the life insurance business. Why isn't that reported widely? Why didn't I read that in the New York Times? Why didn't I see it on CNN? Why didn't I see it on Fox News? What's going on here? Let's read further in Margaret's article. The annual statements for Lincoln National Life Insurance Company show that the company paid out in its death benefits under group life insurance policies a little over $500 million in 2019. And then in 2020, they paid out about $548 million in life insurance policies, right? People who died, families got paid. But In 2021, that number jumped not from 500 million, it jumped to 1.4 billion in 2021. So suddenly people were dying at a much faster rate. Now, what could cause this is the question. Okay. All right. From 2019, the normal last year before the pandemic, the last normal year, to 2020, right, there was an increase in group deaths about 9%. But from 2020 to 2021, there was an increase in deaths of 164%. Okay? So basically, this is a huge jump. Why are people dying? Well, it says Lincoln National is the fifth largest insurance company in the United States, according to the Bankrate, after New York Life, Northwestern Mutual, MetLife, and Prudential. The company was founded in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in 1905, getting the okay from Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert Todd Lincoln, to use his father's name and likeness in advertising. It's now based in Radnor, Pennsylvania. The annual statements filed with the states do not show the number of claims, only the total dollar amounts of claims paid. Group life insurance policies in most cases cover working age adults 18 to 64 whose employers include life insurance as an employee benefit. How many deaths are represented in the 163 increase? It's really not possible to determine at this point. All we know are the dollar figure statements. However, their average payout in each policy is about $70,000. So that would $70,000 into the $1.5 billion would represent about 10,000 more deaths than a normal year would have, according to just this one company. Just one company. All right, in 2019, the baseline year, because it was before the pandemic, the number was $3.7 billion. In 2020, the pandemic, the number went to $4 billion. And in 2021, it went up to $5.3 billion. The other thing is you're seeing the largest spike of 2021 happens in the third and fourth quarter when the boosters came out. So no one is saying it's the boosters who are doing it. They're not saying it. But there's a correlation there. Correlation is not causation. But certainly it should be, I think, investigated and looked at further. But it's not happening, and we're not even seeing this on major media outlets. I want to now make a cut to Dr. Pierre Corey from America's Frontline Doctors. He's been screaming about how ivermectin can actually save people and hydrochloroquine from go. He was using it to save patients before he was ordered not to. Other countries, Japan's used it. It's been wonderful. Africa's 6% vaccinated. Their death rates are 1/10 of what ours are. They give ivermectin and hydrochloroquine over the counter. In fact, hydrochloroquine is called the Sunday drug because people take it prophylactically to prevent diseases such as malaria and other viruses. But anyway, let's go to Pierre Corey. He is a doctor. He has noticed other doctors talking to him and saying we're seeing spikes in certain strokes and heart attacks for young people, working age people we've never seen before. These are people without preconditions. These are healthy people waking up dead. So let's hear about 1 minute from Dr. Pierre Corey here on Through the Looking Glass.
Insides of the medical centers, I've been talking to some nurses. They're telling me that the doctors now are seeing, they're seeing a lot of vaccine injury where they were disassociated before. They were denying it. They kept, you know, dismissing the idea that the vaccine has caused. Now they can't. The oncologists are seeing cancers. The neurologists are seeing strokes in patients with no risk factors at younger and younger ages. The cardiologists are seeing heart attacks with these fibrin clots that are filling the coronary arteries to the extent they've never seen before. I mean, there's plenty of specialties who are seeing things at a degree they haven't. Talk about the obstetrician gynecologist, the miscarriages, the stillbirths, the dysmenorrhea, all of the fertility and menstrual abnormalities amongst oftentimes childbearing ages. And so, I mean, this is a humanitarian catastrophe, and it has been ignored, it has been suppressed, it has been, censored, but you can't hide from this data when it's in your face every day. The system is going to have to they're going to have to address this in some way, at some point.
All right, that was Dr. Pierre Corey, America's Frontline Doctors. Dr. Corey has been banned from Twitter, banned from YouTube, because he's speaking a narrative that I guess isn't popular, right? He's criticizing injuries from the vaccine. He's highlighting it, and so he's been censored. We saw Alina Lipp censored for reporting what she saw in the Donbass region. Germany's threatening to lock her up. And we want to really thank Bobby Ann Cox for coming on and telling us a story that we should all know about, quarantine camps. There's a law now for quarantine camps and people to be